This month we revisit Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy, hosts of the weekly internet podcast Eyes on Success. Nancy and Pete often say that nothing is impossible just because you can't see. In their December 2013 program, we heard heartfelt thoughts from several visually impaired people on the subject and how they have overcome others telling them that something was impossible. We've edited the program to fit into our time frame. The entire discussion may be heard on the internet at www.eyesonsuccess.net. We hope this will generate conversation within your group about personal experiences with overcoming the challenges of vision loss.
We collected some comments from some interviews with listeners of ours about overcoming challenges as a visually impaired person, and specifically what may be possible and maybe what's not possible. There were some very interesting comments posted on our email listener forum that went back and forth, and the discussion was so interesting that we decided to ask for volunteers to participate in a show discussing some of the topics so we could share this with everybody else who listens to the show.
We'll meet today's guests, and we'll just let them introduce themselves.
I'm Anna. I'm an English teacher and a translator and interpreter.
My name is Marcy Weinberg. My training was education.
My name is Jose Tamayo. Mostly, I'm into technology. That is my line of work.
My name is Ann Parsons. I am an AT trainer and Braille teacher.
And all of them are blind, having lost their vision anywhere from birth to their mid-20s. They all live in North America, but they span most of the continent, from Florida to Pennsylvania, New York, California, and British Columbia. I know there's an awful lot of them, but don't worry, we'll tell you who's who. We don't expect you to recognize their voices after those short introductions. Many of them expressed can-do attitudes and expressed some pretty strong feelings about what's possible or impossible.
I think that blind people can do pretty much anything that occurs to them, barring piloting an airplane or a car. But pretty much everything else is possible with a little imagination. And that's where you get into the problem-solving part of all this, and that's where the possibilities come in, because you spend your life, if you have a disability, it doesn't matter what disability it is, but if you have one, in problem-solving. And the better you are at problem-solving, the more possibilities are open to you. I hate to say this, but bureaucrats are notorious for not being able to think out of the box. It's a characteristic of bureaucrats.
Well, and I think also, you know, they haven't been blind for their entire lives. So in many cases, it's up to the blind individual to come up with the creative concepts and propose solutions because they're used to dealing with some of the issues and barriers. And so sometimes that might be a better approach.
I think you're probably right about that, Pete. I have found that is the better way to do it. And that's why I'm working for myself instead of working for somebody else right now.
So you worked out how you want to deal with your career, and you're doing more or less what you want, and you're just doing it in a slightly different way.
Yes.
And you don't have a boss you need to convince that you're able to do it. You just do it.
Right. Exactly.
So I think there's kind of two issues here. One is from the individual themselves figuring out how they can do a particular task. And the other issue is you may want to do some particular career in a particular way, but sometimes you may have to modify what that career really involves and how you approach that, what specifically you do.
Yes, I think that's an accurate assessment of the situation.
As Anne said, the fact that you often need to figure out how to do things differently from sighted people means that you develop good problem-solving skills. I think in so many situations, and even simple things, you know, people who worked with Pete for years, and then they'd wind up at lunch together and they'd say, well, how do you eat? That if they haven't had to work it out, they just don't think of how they could do something without seeing.
And it all depends on how people think you ought to do something as to whether you can do it or not, or whether they think you can do it or not.
Yeah, people do have some preconceived notions and or cultural society preconceived notions about how things should be done.
Yeah, they do. And that often gets in the way of solving a problem.
And Anna concurred.
You know, people have an amazingly small imagination when it comes to doing things the way that is different from the way they do it. So in my own job interviews, a lot of times I get questions about how do you do this and how do you do that? And they're things that I think are pretty obvious and that don't require vision at all. But apparently, you know, in their mind, it's hard for them to separate the visual aspect from the rest of it. It so happens that I just finished reading a book called Fringeology by Stephen Volkes. And what the book is about is the study of the paranormal. And what the book is really about is the concept of mystery, how we have a really hard time dealing with things that we can't explain within our paradigm. And I think that to some degree, people with disabilities are a mystery to people who don't have them or, and who don't, you know the people who have disabilities. What this book said is that if you have a mystery, you tend to laugh at it. You tend to want more proof than is necessary to be convinced. You need to have some fundamental changes of thought to be able to accept it.
One of the other things that we do as volunteers is we go into the local elementary school and we teach science lessons to the fourth graders. We do one special session during the school year, which we call Pete's Blind Act, somewhat irreverently. And we go in and Pete explains to the kids how he reads, how he tells time, how he does all of this stuff. And inevitably, somebody raises their little hand and asks, well, how do you eat? And I always kind of interrupt and I say, well, why do you think he's so thin? And everybody gets a good laugh at it and they figure out, well, obviously he's able to eat because he's not dead.
Well, one thing that's great about the fourth graders is they haven't been socialized to not ask these supposedly embarrassing questions. So they're very open about asking these questions, whereas adults, they've kind of been socialized into not talking about these taboo topics. And so people won't ask these questions that they're really wondering inside. So if you have some icebreakers and open up these lines of communications, sometimes it can really be a help.
As Anna said, it's common for blind people to run into other people who assume that the blind person isn't able to do something. Well, here's Jose pointing out that what's really even more important than other people's perception is your own self-confidence.
I think that we're raised and sometimes society teaches us that we have limitations. And what happens is we learn to measure ourselves by what other people measure. And I think that there's an opportunity to learn how to measure our own ability by trying things out. If someone says that I can't do something, by golly, I am going to go try it and I'm going to go do it. That's what I think as individuals with any impairment. And I like to think of my impairment in particular, my vision impairment, is just something that I have. I think that we all have something that limits us in some way.
There's a lot to be said for self-confidence, not overconfidence, because you don't want to be misled, but having a good objective sense of what you can do and what you can't do.
And Marcy added that you need to make an effort in order to succeed. Don't just think you can, but do something about it.
My feeling is that you're not going to get somewhere by saying, I can't do that. You're going to get somewhere by saying, I might be a little scared, I might be a little intimidated, I might be a little worried, but if I go out there and I do it, I know that I can do it. So I have to get over my fear or get over my trepidation, and I just have to get out there, because if you don't try, if you don't make that effort, you know, you might as well just, you know, be sitting in a corner someplace and playing with your lips. So I've always been a cup half full kind of a person. I used to say to my kids all the time, we don't say I can't. If we try something and maybe we have a difficult time doing it, then that's one thing. But we never just stand there and say, I can't do this. You got to give it your best shot.
And Jose agrees.
I've been able to do pretty much everything that I've set my mind to do. And I'm talking about paddling trips. I have fixed cars. I'm not a mechanic. Fixed cars, fixed roofs. I'm not a roof man. You know, so I can't get in a car and drive, but eventually I will. Our technology will be available for people like me to be able to drive. And that I can guarantee you. Why? Because if we had said years ago that there was no way to get to the moon, we would have lost that race. And so that discovery and that ability to think forward and to think of your own ability to do things is what really makes a difference in, you know, inside of us.
Marcy went on to say that although being blind isn't always a bed of roses, many blind people have managed to figure out how to get through life and be productive and happy.
I hope what I've put across is that I'm a positive person, I'm an optimistic person, and despite the fact that I've had to learn to live with something that I guess I never really thought I'd actually have to learn to live with, I just go about and I do my day. And I'm not going to say I never have moments. You know, people say to me, oh, you know, you're so wonderful. And, you know, I look up to you and you're so fantastic. And I say to them, yeah, you've never seen me when I've had one of my moments. Like, I don't want to be put on a pedestal for what I am or you know. And they say, they'll say, well, other people would have just sat in the corner and not done anything. Well, but there are lots and lots and lots of other people who are being productive just like I am. So I'm not a hero. I'm just me. I can't be anybody but who I am.
You've run into lots of similar situations to that.
Yeah, well, that's true. People are very often making those comments, but although they're nice, they're not particularly helpful.
True. Anna's experience shows us that solving problems isn't always as straightforward as we might like it to be. Here's a story of a situation that could have gone horribly wrong.
One of the places where I teach now is a community college. And so I knew they were looking for part-timers. So I sent in my vita and the department chair called me, interviewed me. We had a 5-minute interview. She said, yeah, definitely. You have a class. I'll probably give you a second one. Great. So a week later, I went into the office to turn in some paperwork and everyone panicked because once they realized I wasn't a student, they didn't know what to do with me. And so we had to have this big meeting with human resources and we went through this 29-point list of job duties that a part-time instructor does. And so, you know, I had to answer questions about everything from how I would handle class discussion to how I collect and grade homework, blah, blah, blah. And what was interesting to me was that it wasn't my first teaching job. I think I would have been more sympathetic if that had happened for my first teaching job, maybe my second. But, you know, at this point, I'd been teaching since 1999. So those questions just seem kind of stupid because if I've done it successfully in other places, I obviously know how to do it. And so, but I answered all the questions. I knew how to do that. And the thing is, the prepared questions that my chair had for me just showed an absolute lack of, I don't know, just stop right there. she said, well, you can't just lecture all the time. People have to discuss. And if you're blind, you can't carry on a discussion. And I said, well, I would carry it on just like I'm carrying on this conversation. I'm not sure where the eyes come into it, you know, that kind of thing. And so my chair and I have had our differences of opinion about many things. But, you know, she's finally starting to come around.
What's interesting in what you said there is you said that people would ask you questions about how would you do this? How would you do that? And sometimes those can be difficult questions to answer. I find that sometimes, yeah, I know just from my past experience that I'll be able to do these things. I don't know exactly how, and you may not be able to give a precise answer. But I often know that once you get involved in a situation, you can start figuring out ways. You may have to modify it and iterate a few times, but you know that you'll succeed. So sometimes it's hard to give an answer to those things.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when I was venting about that experience to a friend of mine, he said, well, I don't know how I would have answered all of those questions myself. And I'm excited. I would just, you know, sometimes you just do stuff and you work it out as you go. And I think that's true for us, too. And I think we need to have the confidence in ourselves that we know how to take risks and we know how to do stuff and we'll just get it done.
Sadly, a lot of people aren't convinced until they actually see the success happen. So sometimes you just have to be patient and work it out and show people your success.
And just as with anything else, you can establish a track record of success that will convince other people that you might be able to do the next thing and they won't be as worried about it. Here's Jose.
That's the most powerful tool, just showing people that you can do it. And that's with anything. I mean, when I got my first job as an engineer, I was cited, but I still had to prove that I could do my job. Well, you have to prove that you can do it. And that's going to happen everywhere. You have to prove that you can do it. And sometimes people don't believe you, and you have to work hard at helping them see that you can do it, whether you're cited or not. I never had to ask for a promotion, but when I did, I had to prove that I could do my job, whether I was cited or not. I'll give you an example. 2 years ago, I was at my mother's house working on redoing a roof. And I'm not a roofman. My work is technology. I've done computer work all my life. But I was up there fixing my mom's roof. And some neighbor came up and said, "Hey, what are you doing up there? You know, you're going to fall. And you shouldn't be doing that. You can't see." And then some other neighbor came by and said, "Well, you know what? That guy right there will do anything you ask him to do." And doing something based on where you are and how you feel is very powerful. Doing something because somebody else is telling you that whether you can do it or not, that's where we begin to get into limiting our own abilities and our own way of doing things.
Although there are certainly special challenges being blind, some of these issues are common to everybody. So don't assume that if you're having some difficulty, it's because you can't see. Anna has a story that really demonstrates this.
I know for me, when I started teaching, I was really lucky in that a very close friend of mine who was sighted started teaching at the same time. So a lot of times I would think about what happened in the classroom and I would think, oh, that was really stupid. I shouldn't have done it that way. Or why did my students do this? And I would find myself blaming blindness in one way or other a lot. But when I would compare notes with my sighted friend, she had a lot of the same stuff to say. And I thought, oh, well, she isn't blind and she's having that problem too. And so that was really, really helpful for me in helping me sort out what's real from what's in my head.
We want to leave you with the thought that we still believe that almost anything is possible, and we'd like to thank Anna for putting that so nicely.
I think anything is possible as long as we understand what we're getting into, as long as we're able to break it out into tasks and think about how we will do each of those tasks, and as long as we're willing to take a little bit of a leap of faith. Sighted people don't always know what they're going to get themselves into, but they just try stuff. I'm reading a book right now about climbing Mount Everest, and the people who did that didn't have a plan, and they didn't know exactly what they were getting into, and they didn't know if it would work, but they tried it, and some people made it, and other people did not, and I think that's kind of what life is like as a blind professional trying to make way in a job that maybe other people haven't tried yet.
So there you go. Instead of coming up with a whole bunch of reasons why something can't work, you need to be creative and confident and come up with actionable items that can make things work for you.
And we'd like to thank again Anna, Marcy, Jose, and Anne for their thoughts on these issues, because these are issues that all blind people run into, and many people have some pretty strong feelings on the topic, and it was just so wonderful for us to be able to talk with each of them on the subject.